Yeah.
Hello, Lavender Mavens. Welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Hazik, and today I have with me the one and only Iqra Ahmed, who is the CEO and founder of a terrific clothing line called Tulpalav in Srinagar, Kashmir. Iqra is such a fashion icon in my circle, and she is a full-time hustler, a businesswoman, a creative thinker. Her work is not just about reviving the traditional Kashmiri fashion and style, but in fact revolutionizing it with quirky embellishments, interesting cuts and silhouettes, patchwork, embroidery, you name it. And the beauty of it all is that she does it all while keeping the true essence of the traditional Kashmiri style intact. So, Iqra and I got in touch in 2018. She reached out to me and requested if we could do a photo shoot together. And it was so cool because we did end up meeting and we shot everything on my cell phone in selfie mode. And the photographs turned out great. And I think I knew the day I met Iqra that together we could create so much magic. And what really excites me is that Iqra is bringing Tulpalav to Chicago, which is way closer to me now than we are at the moment. And so, you know, everything Iqra has achieved did not happen overnight, of course. So how was Tulpalav born? How does she come up with such interesting designs? How did her brand pick up in Kashmir? What are her plans for the future? Let's find out. Hello, Iqra. Welcome to the Lavender Fix. This is a highly, highly requested episode and you're finally here and I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much, Bareen, for having me here. How are you doing?
I am good. It's a great way to start my day with you, with a friend. And how are you doing?
Everything goes great, Bareen.
Ah, that's really good to know. All right. So, like I said, this episode came highly requested. I have a ton of questions for you. People have a ton of questions for you. So, you are on the hot seat. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, then. So, you know, Iqra, I've known you for a while now. We're great friends. But I've always been curious to know that, you know, of course, in Kashmir, everybody knows that you're the CEO of this terrific clothing line. That's super exclusive in Srinagar. But what were you like as a person before Tulpalav was founded?
I personally feel that I'm an outspoken person and I always believed in exploring myself and everything around me. Yeah,
you do seem to be a very outgoing person and you have a personality where I think it's required for you to be able to market your stuff, which you're doing a terrific job at, by the way.
Thank you so much.
So now I'd like to know, when was Tulpalav founded and what does it mean in Kashmiri?
It's been 6 years now. Tulpalav was started in 2015, 2nd November 2015. Mm. And Tulpalav, it's a Kashmiri name actually. Tul means pick and Palav means clothes.
Right, interesting.
I know. Kashmiri.
Yes, I completely understand the meaning, but I think, you know, for our viewers, it's probably like, that's an interesting name. What does it mean? Okay, so growing up, did you always have a flair for fashion, designing, or creativity, you know, in any form? Or did it just strike as you grew up and you realized, oh my God, I have this talent and I should leverage it? Because quite frankly, when I look back, I had zero sense of style growing up. And then now that I look back, I feel like, wow, I've really evolved. So were you always a fashionista?
Yes.
Yeah.
After completing 12th, I wanted to opt for fashion designing, but there were no fashion colleges in Kashmir. So I did my graduation in psychology first and then my master's in linguistics. But my passion for fashion designing was always there. So after completing my studies, I started Tulpalav.
Nice.
I will not deny the fact that starting a new business is not an overnight effort
Of
especially
course.
these days, new business ideas are being repeatedly exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Tulpalav for me is no, actually Tulpalav for me was something that came naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, of course, it feels like it comes very naturally to you, clearly, mm-hmm. through all the work that you're doing. And I do believe that, you know, you don't necessarily need a specific degree to make your dreams a reality unless you want to be like a doctor or an engineer, or you want to become an astronaut or join the NASA or something of that sort. So you said that, you know, the scope for fashion designing in Kashmir is not necessarily very broad. And so did you actually end up studying fashion at all at any point?
Yes, after 2 years of Tulpalav, I have done this fashion designing from Delhi,
mm-hmm.
WLCI Waganley. Yes, I did fashion designing. It was very important for me, actually.
No, that's amazing.
I wanted to call myself a fashion designer.
Yeah, of course you are a fashion designer and a businesswoman. And I have so many other adjectives for you. But no, I think doing mm-hmm. a course, you know, even though it's not necessary, it gives you a new perspective. So that's really cool to know. Did you ever visualize yourself becoming a businesswoman? And that too, such a successful one?
Never.
Wow.
I wanted to become a stylist, actually.
Yeah.
Tulpalav is more like an initiative to represent and sustain the essence of Kashmiri culture and creating a trend along with the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about Tulpalav now.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more, since you're talking about it now, tell me a little bit more about how you came up with the idea of starting Tulpalav.
Tulpalav. Actually, my family, actually I don't have a business background. My mm. father is a lawyer, my mother is an accountant, and my brother is also a lawyer. So and my father is very patriotic.
Yeah,
we talk about Kashmir, we eat Kashmiri food, everything revolves around Kashmir.
Mm-hmm.
So the name itself says everything.
Yeah. So
my brand is all about Kashmiri culture and Kashmiri traditions, because our culture is very rich.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to do something
around it.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, it's a really funny thing that came to my mind when you were telling me that your dad is a lawyer and your brother is a lawyer and your mom is an accountant. You have all the tools in your toolbox, my friend. Nobody can mess with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. You need good lawyers in your family.
And I have doctors in my family as
Perfect.
Well.
So if anyone ends up, anyone messes with you, then they also have a doc. You also have a doctor on the fly. So did you build your brand on the fly, or did you have a concrete business plan or seed funding in place?
No plans, actually. No, nothing.
Interesting.
And I'm still learning. I have zero knowledge about business. As I told you, nobody has done the business from my family.
Hmm.
I was a linguistic student. Linguistic student. I don't have a MBA degree.
Right.
So,
But you know what, Ikra? That's not true. I think you are very street smart. I think through my conversations with you, the first time I met mm-hmm. you, and then all throughout these, how many years have we known each other? Like 3 or 4 years? I think I have come to recognize, I have come to recognize that.
And my first professional photo shoot was with you.
That is so special. And I have a question mm-hmm. for you around that. I actually talked about it in the introduction a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really precious. So I do think that you definitely are very street smart. You're creative. You have a knack for marketing and you try. So I think I disagree with you. I think you definitely know a ton about business now. You've spent a lot of time, and I hope you realize that.
That's why I said I'm still learning.
Yeah, and you will just get better from here.
Inshallah.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of you. I hope you know that.
Yeah, and I don't have any funds for Tulpalav as well.
Right.
I was having zero savings.
Yeah.
So my cousin helped me, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's great. Okay, mm-hmm. So you had seed funding of some sort where people came in your family and helped you. So that's always
a good thing. Only my cousin. Nobody knows about Tulpala first. My cousin helped me. He gave me some money and I started my business with that money only.
Okay, that's awesome.
Nobody helped me. Yeah.
That's
just
awesome.
My cousin.
So, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk to you about was fashion as a word can connote different things to different people. In our world, especially in a place like Kashmir, and you're already familiar with this, people can be really old-fashioned. And often the moment you say, you know, fashion, they'll associate it with skimpy clothes and whatnot. So knowing how traditional Kashmiri parents are, how did your folks respond to you wanting to be in the fashion industry?
It was challenging for me to make people of Kashmir understand that fashion industry can be modest too. But alhamdulillah, I came so far. It's been 6 years and now everyone in Kashmir is opting for same line. Everyone in Kashmir, even I get calls from so many parents actually.
Right.
To say
that
our kid colleges,
that our kid wants to pursue this, how can you help? Gotcha.
Even I have so many interns from Kashmir now. They wanted to opt for same line, but
people
are changing.
People are changing, and you have started a revolution. So the credit goes to you. So, tell me about a time when you felt that, you know, Tulpala was definitely not just a hobby or an idea. I mean, was there ever that moment of clarity where you felt validated in your ability to really thrive as an entrepreneur?
The first day of Tulpala, I sold 30 products in an hour.
Wow.
And that's what clicked. Still, I would also mention that I have gathered a large circle of customers who are actively shop and appreciate my work from last 6 years. I have regular customers from last 5 years, 6 years.
Right, right. Wow, so you sold...
I think they have 10 to 15 products of mine now.
Nice. So you sold 30 products in an hour?
Yeah,
on the first day.
What clicked, actually, yeah.
On the first day?
On the very first day.
Wow.
On 2nd November 2015.
Oh my God, you remember the date.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did have a moment of clarity. You did feel like, whoa, I am the shiz. I can totally do this. This is something. This is more than a hobby. That's amazing. Okay, now. Tell me about your creative process. How do you come up with such unique designs and what inspires you? Because even though your clothes are Kashmir inspired, there is always, you know, a cool cut here or a slit there that makes them really stand out. So tell me about your creative process.
I don't have to create anything. It's just that our culture, Kashmiri tradition, culture, clothes, the silhouettes, the silhouette of Farin is extremely beautiful and modest. Kashmir makes them stand out. Our culture makes everything stand out.
So when
I don't have to create anything.
Yeah, but
it's Kashmir.
When you design things, for example, your Farins, right? Your Farin is not just a Farin. Even though the silhouette is the same, you always introduce something interesting to your Farin. It's not just, you know, okay, this is what I want you to make. There is always a little ikra twist to it. So how do you come up with those?
Yeah.
How do you come up with those? You know, I've noticed you'll have a zip here and a frill here and a little puffy sleeve here. So how does that work?
See, I love colors. I love flowers, colors. I love everything. Okay, sorry. So that's what make my products different. I experiment with colors. I experiment with different silhouettes. I experiment with styling. I add some jewelry and I add few more things. But yeah, styling matters actually.
And does do you when you're thinking about your designs, for example, introducing those quirky elements, Do you think about, like, do you sit down with a piece of pen and paper, or does creativity strike when you're doing random things? That, oh, this is a great idea for a Ferran, or this is a great idea for a lehenga.
No, I create a mood board first. I get some inspiration first, and then I create something.
Okay, so you have a process. That is huge, because, I mean, if you're the mood board sort of a girl, then you're really up there. I don't think I can ever create a mood board. Like, I don't think I'm there yet. But okay, that's interesting. So considering that your designs are very unique and different from what, you know, Kashmiris are used to, how do you even explain your quirky designs to the tailors? Is it difficult?
No, my tailors are more creative than me. Mm-hmm. So I learn from them. I still learn from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you suggest an idea and they may say that, you know what, actually, this is a better way to do it. What do you think, Ikra? Something like
yes.
that?
Yeah, they're creative. They are very creative.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I love that you're giving them so much credit. That's awesome. So when you move to a more defined style, right, initially, obviously, I remember, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were sticking more with traditional outfits. You weren't necessarily introducing too much pizzazz into them. And then gradually, I think, as the brand evolved, you started introducing newer things and elements to your clothing. So when you moved to a more defined style that was slightly different from the traditional Kashmiri clothes, describe to me the feeling when you curated, you know, when your curated designs were produced by these tailors, and when you saw your vision come to life, you know, and how did you feel when you sold your first piece? How much did you sell it for? I'm so curious to know. Sorry, too many questions, but let me know if you want me to repeat that.
Creating a new piece is always exciting, like cooking a new dish. And when you get appreciation for the same, that's what I need in return. I felt successful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I sold, the price was $3,500.
Okay, that's a good first sell.
Yeah.
But how do you, you know, like, for example, if you come up with, say, a jacket that traditionally, you know, it's different, and then what you introduce something cool to it, and then you tell your tailor to create it, and then they create it and you see it for the first time and you're like, whoa, that's exactly what I was thinking about. What was that feeling like when you started first seeing that, wow, my vision is really coming to life?
Obviously, I feel so good, and I told you, I feel successful at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was probably 20, I was a big fan of Peter Pan collars. And I found a few in like a random marketplace. And then I never found more. So I was really disappointed. And so I went to a tailor and I said, this is the color of the shirt. This is the color of the collar, this is how wide I want it to be and all that stuff. And I went back home and I'm like, there's no way he's going to be able to make this. And then I came back to pick it up and it looked exactly how I wanted it to look, and I was so ecstatic. So the reason I asked you is because it's really cool to see when you think of an idea and then someone creates it for you. So it's always really interesting to know.
It feels really good. Yeah. It feels really good.
So now tell me about your team that you've been boasting about. You know, how do you guys work together as a unit? How did you even find these talented people?
As I told you earlier, Tulpala was started in 2015 and it's been almost 6 years. And my team members are still same.
Mm-hmm.
They know my style now, what I like, what I dislike. So it makes us a good team.
Right.
We know each other very well now.
Mm-hmm. And they've stayed with you, which means that you're a good employer. Haha.
Yeah.
Right, that's always good to know. No, retention is huge, because if you know you know, and by the way, Ikra, I don't know if you realize this about yourself. If you're able to hold a team together for that long, it means you're also a good manager. So I hope you give yourself enough credit for that. All right, so you know, creating things is different from marketing them, right? And when you're marketing clothes, photographs are sort of everything. So tell me about the evolution of how you used to capture your work when Tulpalav first started, and where are you now, especially with your Instagram thriving?
Photography, the most important part of business, of my business, is photography now.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have fashion photographers in Kashmir.
That is true.
We have only these. Yeah, we don't have fashion photographers. But some of my friends, Isam, Zulkanan, and the other Rumi, they are doing really good. They have been helping me from so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And yeah, I also click my pictures quite well now.
So initially,
yeah, I'm also growing with time. Yeah,
yeah, of course. So initially, when you started Tulpalav, what is the difference between the photographs you used to take then and the ones you're taking now?
I used to hang my clothes on a hanger, and now I have drone shots. I have every shots now.
You have people, you have models, you have actresses. Right. No, I've definitely seen an evolution, and so I thought it was worth asking. You've also gained a significant traction on Instagram. So when did you notice a spurt in your following, and how quickly did it happen?
It took 6 years to gain organic followers. Mm-hmm. I used to have 50,000 followers, but my account got hacked in 2019.
Crazy.
Yeah, I used to have 50,000 followers back then, but now I have a new page on Instagram with 30,000 organic followers.
Yeah, you've definitely built it back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, you know, obviously you said it took you 6 years to grow that following. Did it happen, like, did you start feeling like, whoa, I'm growing pretty, like, fast? Did you ever feel that, or was it slow?
Actually, people from Kashmir, people worldwide, actually, they have been appreciating from day one. They have been appreciating my work, and I don't get a lot of criticism, alhamdulillah. Even I have 50% of men and 50% of women, women following me. So, alhamdulillah. I'm doing good.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, do you get any hate on Instagram? Like negative comments?
No.
That's really good.
I don't actually, no.
That's amazing. I mean, what are they going to say?
The only criticism I get is that Tulpalav is very pricey.
Okay, we will talk about that in a second, because I do have a question for you around that. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, so let's actually talk about that now. Let's talk about pricing, because I think this is your time to clear the air and talk to people about the quality you're delivering. So a little birdie told me, that Tulpalav is infamous for being a very expensive brand in Kashmir. Do you agree?
Okay.
If not, tell me why.
Yes. For being famous,
like, yes, for being expensive, or yes, for being what? Okay.
For being famous, for parents worldwide, Tulpalav is also famous for selling pricey clothes.
Right.
But obviously, Tulpalav is quite reasonable. Obviously, I make my outfits from scratch. I buy fabric. I make trace of embroidery, cutting, stitching, lining, dupatta, salwar, everything. That too in pure fabric. Delivering the product, photography, everything is done by us. But yeah, our product is very expensive.
So you're saying that you are sourcing the best materials and you are getting everything created from scratch. And I think people are not looking at the labor that goes into it, which is obviously, I think, one important thing to talk about here is the business cost, right? In order to have a profit margin for yourself, even if it's not a very large profit margin, you're still paying people on your team. You are commuting to places. You are collaborating with other people. You're commuting to those places. You are sending out swag to people, to fashion influencers. You know, that is, again, resources gone. So definitely. So you're saying, so, okay, tell me if I'm wrong here. You are basically saying that, Sabrine, I am sourcing the best and the most long-lasting or durable materials to create these outfits. And people are not necessarily looking at that.
I'm doing everything from scratch. I buy my fabric. I do embroidery, stitching, cutting, everything. Even photo shoot is important for my business. So I have to do that also. And I give pure material. I don't give half pure material. So yeah.
Okay.
If people think my product is expensive, then yeah, it is expensive. I have to sell expensive things. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, you know, I think the sense that I'm getting from you is that it is difficult to do business in Kashmir. Right. So
yeah, working in Kashmir is like waiting for flood in desert.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So tell me why.
See, we don't work for whole year in Kashmir. We have strikes, we have internet shutdown, we have corona now, and we have everything, but still we manage to work hard. We manage. I don't know how, but yeah, we do.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, what about people? Like, do you think that if people make it really difficult for you to do your business?
No, they have been supportive. I have, obviously, customer is a part of my business. So people are quite supportive in Kashmir. For Tulpalav, they are. I don't know about others, but yeah, for Tulpalav, they are always supportive.
And do you like, so what I think what I'm trying to ask you is, you know, from an experience standpoint, you know, people don't necessarily have a good understanding of how businesses work, right? Not everyone understands the different touch points in a business. They think that I ordered this from you. Why hasn't it reached? I'm not going to buy from you again, sort of a thing. Like, there is lack of emotional intelligence sometimes. So can you share with me one experience, not so pleasant experience, or even a really good experience? Actually, share one of each with me. One where you felt like there was lack of understanding on part of the customer, and one where you really felt like, wow, this is totally worth it, everything that I'm doing.
I don't have much bad experiences, but after 5th August shutdown, I delivered a product after a few months. And a customer texted, thank you so much for this beautiful piece that got delivered after 6 months. So there was appreciation and sarcasm as well.
Any experience where your patience was challenged?
From last 2 months, I had some bad experiences too. Got some parcels back because I was busy with my marriage. So, yeah.
Yeah, but do you have an example of someone, say, overreacting, or someone saying something that made you feel a little low?
Not exactly. I told you, people are understanding. People are supportive as well. They understand the condition of Kashmir. They understand the situation, the pandemic which is going right now.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Quite supportive, yeah.
Okay, that's good to know that you haven't had bad experiences, because those can be hard. Do you feel like your styles, this is
For me, bad experiences, my parcels getting back, that is a bad experience for me.
Right.
I get my parcels back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's never a pleasant thing. But hey, that's how you learn. Okay, so this is a hot, I know this is a hot button for you. So be ready for this question, okay? Because I know you have a lot of feelings around it. Do you feel like your styles are being replicated by others to sell for cheaper in Kashmir? And if yes, how do you feel about that? Sorry, I had to ask.
That's a part of every business, I guess. Your products have replicas too. So as long as I am selling original piece, I don't feel bad about it. And yes, I wanted to open this. That's it.
So, no, do you feel like there are businesses out there who are trying to copy your styles?
I told you.
Come on. Okay, so I'll take that as a yes.
Replicas are there, yeah.
I will take that as a yes.
People have been copying my style, my products, yeah.
Okay, another question.
But it's okay.
Another question. Just knowing
they're how... They're also working hard for that.
Yeah, but hey, still, I think, no, don't say that because no, I'm not going to take that because you are working really hard for your designs. I don't think you should be, nope. Okay.
They're working hard also for making a replica.
Okay, cool. That's better. Yes. So I have a very specific question for you, okay? I feel like whether you're talking about Kashmir or India or Pakistan or generally Southeast Asia, right? I think one thing that I've noticed in a lot of people is, hey, we bought what you made for cheaper from another place. That sort of stuff tends to happen where people will either lift your design, give it to someone else to create, right? Mm-hmm. But what they get back is not necessarily quality. They will definitely get...
That is obvious. They don't get quality product. Replica is a replica. You don't get anything original.
So when you
get it in a cheaper price, but the quality won't be same.
So Ikra, tell me this. When you say that the quality won't be the same, what is the difference in the quality? Mm.
Quality will be cheaper, obviously. If you're selling a product for example, for 7,000 rupees, I'm selling the same product for 9,000 rupees.
Yeah.
I buy my material for almost 2,500 to 3,000 rupees, and then stitching, then embroidery, then delivering the product, photography charges, everything. Mm. So I have to sell my product for 9,000 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's impossible to sell my product for 7,000 rupees.
Yeah, because you're spending way more. The cost price of your materials is higher. Now, considering that you were talking about communication blockades a few minutes ago, right? You know, they're very common in Kashmir, internet shutdowns and stuff like that. So how challenging has it been to operate normally as a business during those times? What happens then?
Obviously my business is an online store, Tulpalav. I wanted to open a physical store just to be organized because I was working in a comfort zone for so long. But I'm more comfortable selling my clothes online rather than selling in a physical store. Because handling a customer face-to-face is more difficult. So no plans of opening my physical store.
Right. But like during the blockades, during communication blockades, what are some of the challenges that you faced?
Being an online store, internet blockades have a very bad effect on my business. I'm unable to upload my pictures, connect to my customers. So yeah.
And what about shipping?
Obviously, I can't ship anything because we don't have communication.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But your customers understand that. So that's a good thing that you have that understanding with them.
They do.
Now, you were talking about, you know, you don't want to have a physical store, but I know that you have your own studio. So why did you decide to create a space and what purpose has it served so far?
I told you I was working in my comfort zone, so I wanted to be a little bit organized. That's why I opened a physical store. But I'm more comfortable in selling online only. I'm not comfortable in selling face-to-face.
Right, but
that is more difficult, yeah.
Yeah, but this is not a store. This is a studio, right?
Yeah.
So what does it do for you?
My tailors are in office only.
Okay. So you have your tailors. Yeah. Do you have people come in and talk to you to place orders?
Not really, no. Yeah, some customers come, but mostly brides.
Okay. By appointment?
They have to feel the material and they have to, by appointment.
Actually. Okay. Okay, yeah. Because that's like, you know, there's a difference between a studio and a store. And I know that you weren't selling your clothes out of a store. So that's really good to know. And what are your future plans for Tulpalav? Anything under the works?
Future plans. Actually, Tulpalav might travel to places now.
Not might. It is.
I only expect that Tulpalav would continue growing and for people to see more than just an online store.
Right.
But yeah, I'm working on my website actually. And Tulpalav might travel to places.
No. It is going to travel. And do you want to tell people where it is going to travel to?
Maybe to US.
Maybe to Chicago specifically. Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I already gave everyone a little hint. So I'm really glad to hear that you want to continue to scale your business. So I want to congratulate you on how far you've come. And I am so excited to watch you grow and do all the amazing things. And I can't wait to connect with you when you're here
in
the US.
And you have been a part of Tulpalav as well.
Ah, thank you.
You have been helpful too.
Thank you. All right. I have a twisted question for you now. If you are not a businesswoman and a fashion designer, what would you be?
Homemaker.
A homemaker?
Because, I
mean,
cooking.
Okay.
Yeah. I love organizing things.
Yeah.
Maybe a chef.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I somehow also feel like you would be like an interior designer, maybe.
I have designed my studio also.
Right? Yeah. You could totally.
That's why I said I like organizing things and I know a little bit about interior designing.
You know a lot. Please don't be modest. You are a very creative person. All right. So, Ikra, we've reached the end. But before we wrap up, what advice do you have for upcoming fashion designers who want to set up their own business in Kashmir or outside? You know, what are some of the key factors to keep in mind? And how can they put their work out there to build a strong customer base? Any pieces of advice?
Don't copy. Be original with your ideas and believe what you can achieve. Allah can surprise us anytime with success or whatever we want. Just be faithful to your work and don't copy. Start making your own ideas.
So be original.
That's what, yeah.
Be original, be authentic. Any logistical things
actually,
to keep in mind?
People of Kashmir are very talented.
Absolutely.
They are intelligent, they are talented, but they are busy in copying things. I have no idea why they are doing that. That's why I'm saying be original.
All right, message received. So anyone who is who is trying to be a fashion designer or, you know, wants to start their own business, be original, think through a plan. And I would say a couple of things, even though I'm not an entrepreneur, but I'm trying to scale my podcast, that I think just think about the marketing piece a little bit and try and save some money before you really jump into this. So I think that's really helpful unless you have someone who's willing to give you some seed funding. Okay.
I think money is important in a business, but idea is more important.
Absolutely.
A good idea is more important, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Thank you, Ikra. This was a really fun conversation. I think I personally got to learn a ton about you, even though you're my friend. I am sure that, you know, our listeners and maybe some of your stalkers, maybe some of your stalkers got a lot of insight into your magical world of creativity. So thanks again for taking the time to do this with me. Also, big
thank you so much, Vareen, for having me here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And also a big thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. Please go subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcast, wherever you prefer. And please, please rate and review the podcast because your feedback is really important. Also, stay tuned because I have a lot more coming up for you. And as always, remember to keep your chin up.